My fellow servants of the Americas, all of the men and the women of this Pan-American Scientific Congress have come here tonight, I think, with heavy hearts. During the past few years, you and I have seen event follow event, each and every one of them a shock to our hopes for the peaceful development of modern civilization as we know it. And this very day, the 10th of May, 1940, this very day, three more independent nations have been cruelly invaded by force of arms. In some kinds of human affairs, the mind of man becomes accustomed to unusual actions, if those actions are often repeated. But that is not so in the world happenings of today. And I am proud that it is not so. I am glad that we Americans, of the three Americas, are shocked, that we are angered by the tragic news that has come to us from Belgium and the Netherlands and Luxembourg. The overwhelmingly greater part of the population of the world abhors conquest and war and bloodshed. It prays that the hand of neighbor shall not be lifted against neighbor. The whole world has seen attack follow threat on very many occasions and in very many places during these latter years. We have come, therefore, to the reluctant conclusion that a continuance of these processes of arms presents a definite challenge to the continuance of the type of civilization to which all of us have been accustomed for so many generations. I use this American, Pan-American Scientific Congress as an illustration, and I could use many similar illustrations. It is no accident that this meeting takes place in the New World. In fact, this hemisphere is now almost the only part of the earth in which such a gathering can take place. Elsewhere, war, or politics in its worst sense, has compelled teachers and scholars to leave their great calling and to become the agents of destruction. We, and most of the people in the world, believe still in a civilization of construction and not of destruction. We and most of the people in the world still believe that men and women have an inherent right to hew out the patterns of their own individual lives, just so long as they as individuals do not harm their fellow beings. We call this this thought, this ideal, by many terms which are synonymous. We call it individual liberty. We call it civil liberty. And I think, best of all, we call it democracy. Until now, up to these days, we permit ourselves, by common consent, to search for truth, to teach the truth as we see it. The inheritance which we had hoped to share with every nation in the world is, for the moment, left largely in our keeping. And it is our compelling duty to guard and enrich that legacy, to preserve it for a world which must be born, reborn from the ashes of the present disaster. Today, we know too many citizens of our American republics believe themselves wholly safe physically and economically and socially safe. Safe from the impact of the attacks on civilization which are in progress elsewhere. And perhaps this mistaken idea was based on a false teaching of geography. The thought that a distance of several thousand miles from a war-torn Europe to a peaceful America, that distance in itself gave to us some form of mystic immunity that could never be violated. And yet, in speaking in terms of, what shall I say, timetables, speaking in terms of the moving of men and guns and planes and bombs, every single acre, every hectare, in all the Americas from the Arctic to the Antarctic, every one of them is closer to the home of modern conquerors, closer to the scenes of the attacks in Europe than was ever the case in those episodes of history that we read about. The efforts to dominate the whole world by conquest in centuries gone by. From the point of view of conquest, it is a shorter distance from the center of Europe to Santiago de Chile than it was for the chariots of Alexander the Great to roll from Macedonia to Persia. In modern terms, it's a shorter distance from Europe to San Francisco, California, than it was for the ships and the legions of Julius Caesar to move from Rome to Spain or Rome to Britain. And today, it is 4 or 5 hours of travel from the continent of Africa to the continent of America, where it was 4 or 5 weeks for the armies of Napoleon to march from Paris to Rome or Paris to Poland. You who are scientists may have been told that you are in part responsible for the debacle of today because of the processes of invention. Invention for the annihilation of time and space. But I assure you that it is not the scientists of the world who are responsible, because the objectives which you have looked to All of those objectives have been headed toward closer and more peaceful relations between all nations through the spirit of cooperation and the interchange of knowledge. What has come about has been caused solely by those who would use and are using your inventions, the progress that you have made along lines of peace, but using them in an entirely different cause. Those people who seek to dominate hundreds of millions of people in vast continental areas, those who, if they are successful in that aim, will, we know down in our hearts, enlarge their wild dream to encompass every human being and every mile of the Earth's surface. The great achievements of science, yes, and of art, can be used in one way or another to destroy as well as to create. They are only instruments by which men try to do the things that they most want to do. If death is desired, science can do that. If a full, a rich, a useful life is sought, science can do that also. Happily for us, that question has been solved. For in the new world, we live for each other and in the service of a Christian faith. Is this solution our solution? Is it permanent or safe if it's solved just for us alone? That seems to me to be the most immediate issue that the Americas face. Can we continue our peaceful construction if all the other continents in all the world embrace by preference or by compulsion a wholly different principle of life? No, I think not. Surely it is time for our republics to spread that problem before us in the cold light of day, to analyze it, to ask questions, to call for answers, to use every knowledge, every science that we possess, to apply common sense, and above all, to act with unanimity and singleness of purpose. I am a pacifist. You, my fellow citizens of 21 American republics, you are pacifists, too. But I believe that by overwhelming majorities in all the Americas, you and I, in the long run, and if it be necessary, you and I will act together to protect, to defend, by every means at our command, to protect and to defend our science, our culture, our American freedom, and our civilization. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard the President of the United States address the inaugural session of the 8th American Scientific Congress in Constitution Hall in your nation's capital.